Good afternoon. The Education Quality Subcommittee will now come to order. For the record, please remember to turn on your microphones for roll call. Misty, please call roll.
Chair Trabalsi is excused. Vice Chair Temple?
Here.
Ranking Member Benjamin? Representative Alvarez is excused. Representative Beltran?
Here.
Representative Kennedy? Representative Costello? Representative Chamberlain?
Here.
Representative Daniels?
Here.
Representative Franklin?
Present.
Representative Gant? Representative Garcia?
Present.
Representative Jill Lombardo? Representative Gonzalez Pittman?
Present.
Representative Plasencia? Representative Tomko is excused. Representative Yeager?
Here.
Good afternoon, members and visitors. Welcome back. Before we begin, please remember to silence all electronic devices. Chair Trabalsi is unable to join us this afternoon as she's attending a national conference on education. However, she is currently tuned in to Florida Channel and is watching the meeting and our commentary. Good afternoon, Chair Trabalsi. Members, this afternoon, we have asked the Department of Education to provide us with a comprehensive presentation of the pathways to teacher certification in Florida. Our state offers a number of traditional and alternative educator preparation routes that lead to full professional certification. Some routes are direct pathways to the professional certificate. For other routes, the individual first teaches under a temporary certificate and then moves on to the professional certificate. In today's presentation, we will walk through. They will walk us through each pathway offered in Florida, the certificate types and requirements, any existing flexibilities or exemptions to qualifications, such as exemptions from having to take the general knowledge test or degree requirements, and utilization of each pathway. And education is no different than any of the other workforce areas, highly skilled professionals. You know, we have a workforce need. And so hopefully we'll hear today how these things will positively impact our schools and our education system. At this time, I'd like to invite to the podium the Chancellor of the Division of K-12 Public Schools, Dr. Paul Burns. Dr. Burns, thank you for being here today, and you're recognized to speak.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon, members. It is a pleasure to be back here before this committee. I had the opportunity to present to this committee quite a bit last session, and so it's really a privilege and an honor to be here today. So today I'm excited to talk about the various pathways to educator certification that we have in Florida. Hopefully prior to this presentation, you received a briefing document that we shared with you all that had all of the various pathways to educator certification. Now, I don't want to make you nervous and think that I'm going to cover every one of those or read that handout to you. What I will be doing in today's presentation is really breaking down each of those pathways and showing you the requirements for how educators can obtain an educator certification. Also this afternoon, what I plan to do before I conclude the presentation is to share with you really the connection between not only teacher preparation, but also the multiple and various pathways that we have to earning a professional certificate in Florida. So, Chair and members, today's presentation, again, it will be a comprehensive overview of what we call educator certification in Florida. I will be including the various types of educator certificates that we have, the requirements to obtain each of those certificates, and really the various pathways, choice, options, and flexibility that we offer to educators as they are obtaining their professional certificate. Each pathway, I think you will hear this very clearly today, that each pathway is designed to accommodate the unique circumstances and needs and aspirations of each prospective educator. The pathways really are available for all individuals who are seeking to teach in Florida. And as the chair mentioned, it encompasses both what we call our traditional pathway, and then it encompasses the alternative routes to certification as well. And then finally today, I will conclude and go over some of the data trends from the last several years on how educators are obtaining their professional certificate. And certainly at the end of the presentation, I'll be happy to answer questions that members may have. So I'm going to start with just giving you a general overview to the steps of certification. So when an individual wants to become certified in Florida, they create an account through a bureau at the department called the Bureau of Educator Certification. After they complete that application, what they do is they submit the application, they pay their fee, which is $75. It's the application fee, and then they also are required to submit their official transcripts to the Department of Education. Once all of that information comes to the department and those files are complete, the Bureau of Education Certification, those team members then reviews each and every one of those applications, really, again, looking at the unique background that each educator brings to educator certification and brings to Florida. After our team members review those files and looking at the various transcripts and the courses that those individuals have taken, the department issues what's called a statement of status of eligibility. Now, that's a lot of words, and so you see on the screen that we call that SOE. We call it a statement of eligibility for short, and essentially what that statement of status of eligibility does is it outlines for an applicant whether that applicant at that moment in time, whether the applicant is either eligible for educator certification based on their qualifications or whether the applicant at that moment in time is ineligible for educator certification. So if an applicant is found to be eligible for educator certification, what they do is they take that statement of status of eligibility, that SOE, they can then obtain a job in a Florida public school or a charter school also, and they have to then undergo a background screening that's required by statute. After that, what we do at the department is we can then issue that certificate to the individual if they are found to be eligible for certification. If through this process an individual receives their SOE, their statement of eligibility, if they are found to be ineligible at that moment in time for educator certification, that document, that SOE, contains all of the detailed requirements that that individual must complete in order to become eligible for certification. So I know that lots of these slides have lots of information, but my plan today when looking at these slides is to put my teacher and principal hat back on and hopefully break these down into smaller chunks of information so that I can just give you a high-level overview of each of the types of certificates that we have. So on this slide, essentially what you see are the various types of Florida educator certificates. What I'm going to do is give you a high-level overview of each of them now. And then on the next several slides, I'll talk about each of the types of certificates and what is required to obtain them. So I'll start with that left-hand column, the temporary certificate. That temporary certificate is valid for 5 years and is non-renewable. The temporary certificate allows educators to access the classroom. I will tell you that now we're proud to offer in Florida 4 different types of temporary certificates. And so in just a few minutes, I'll talk about the 4 different types of temporary certificates that we have. When an individual is on a temporary certificate, the goal is always to help move those individuals through the certification process and for them to move to a professional certificate. And so that's the next column that you see on the screen, which is the professional certificate. The professional certificate is valid for 5 years and is renewable. Again, in just a few slides, I will share with you what some of the requirements are for educators to renew their certificate, their professional certificate, which is valid for 5 years and is renewable. We also have in Florida our Career and Technical Education, or CTE, certificates. And I do want to bring some clarity to this. When you think about our CTE certificates, there are CTE certificates that can be issued by the department, and then there are also CTE certificates that can be issued by the local school district as well. We also then have athletic coaching or special endorsement certificates that individuals have. We have either a 3-year athletic coaching certificate or a 5-year athletic coaching certificate. There are some different requirements for those. We have athletic coaching certificates. And on the far right-hand column, you see that we have our district and charter school issued certificates. Again, those are either adjunct teaching certificates. I'll explain what those are in a little bit. And then again, you also have your non-degree career and technical education or non-degree CTE certificate. So if you just kind of focus on the dark blue line, that gives you the various certificates naked types that we have in Florida. And now on the next couple of slides, I'll talk a little bit more about what it takes to earn each of the different types of certificates. So on this slide, it's important to note that for educator certification, we have both what we call coverage areas on a certificate, and then we also have endorsement areas on a certificate. The word coverage area, we use that term, and then we also interchange other terms with it, such as the subject that the individual is certified in, the area that the individual is certified in, or the field. So sometimes we use those words interchangeably, and that simply means that's the area of the certification that the individual has qualified for and they're able to teach. We then have what are called endorsements that can be placed on an educator's certificate. And those endorsements are really a rider that sits on those certificates that allows educators to teach certain areas. So one of the endorsements we have, for example, is called driver's education. So there's a driver's education endorsement that we have that an individual can add to their professional certificate. So the purpose, when you think about the professional educator certificate, this slide here lists really all of the requirements that an individual needs for educator certification. I will share with you that I think this slide is really a better view when you look at it. And I really like this slide because this slide essentially summarizes what an educator needs to qualify for a professional certificate. And what we have is there, you've got option one and option two. So let me take just a moment and explain to you what we mean by option one and option two. So for an educator to qualify for a professional certificate, they can use what we call option one. And that really is an a la carte method which allows educators to independently, at their own pace, depending on their unique circumstances, it allows educators or applicants to meet all of the requirements of a professional certificate. So it allows educators, after they earn their bachelor's degree, you can see there are really three or four major areas for which they have to demonstrate competency. They have to demonstrate the mastery of general knowledge. They have to demonstrate the mastery of professional preparation. They have to demonstrate the mastery of education competence, then the mastery of subject area knowledge. And so again, this a la carte option one allows educators to achieve all of those just independently. The other way to earn professional certification and licensure is through option two, and that is through a state-approved teacher preparation program. And what we mean by this through a state-approved teacher preparation program is these are programs that are state-approved by the Florida Department of Education that really allows an individual to enroll in that program. And all of those individual requirements you see in option one, they're all put together. And then when individuals graduate from that state-approved teacher preparation program, those individuals are then immediately eligible for professional licensure. So for those individuals then, after individuals obtain their professional certification, they are able to renew their certificate every 5 years by completing in-service points if they are still employed by a school district or if they're employed by a charter school. For educators who are not currently employed, there are still options for educators to renew their certificates every 5 years. Such as taking college courses, retaking a subject area exam, are just a couple of those examples. For educators who are still employed at a district school or a charter school, again, they have all the same options that are available to them, including they can really mix and match how they earn those 120 in-service points. So it's really, it can be a combination of both. Well, there's the 120 in-service points or the college credit. It can be one or the other, or they can certainly mix and match those as well. I also think when you look at the last two bullets, it is important to note that individuals who hold certain coverage areas, remember the coverage area is what you're certified in, the area or field you're certified in, when individuals hold certain coverage areas, they have to also complete 40 hours of in-service that is grounded in the science of reading. And for certain individuals, who hold other coverages such as educational leadership on their certificate, or if they hold the designation of school principal on their certificate, they also have to now earn 20 in-service points in Florida's new educational leadership standards, which were recently adopted by our State Board of Education. So for this slide really shows you information about the temporary certificate. The temporary certificate, again, now is valid for 5 years. House Bill 1 from the 2023 legislative session extended that non-renewable temporary certificate. It extended the validity period from 3 years to 5 years. To seek a temporary certificate, an educator has to again apply to the Bureau, and then we can issue them a temporary certificate if they have met certain qualifications that are outlined in Florida law. It is important to remember that when educators now have that extended time from three years to 5 years, it gives educators that time, that more needed time, in order to complete all of the requirements they may need to complete in order to obtain their professional certificate. So when we look at temporary certificates, this is where now I told you, if you remember that box that had the various temporary certificates, I told you there are four different temporary certificate types. Over the next couple of slides, what I'm going to do is break that down and share with you what each of the various types of temporary certificates that we have are. So for the first one, we've used our quotes here for a traditional. It is not referred like that in law, but it helps us differentiate the different types of temporary certificates that we have. So for the temporary certificate, kind of the traditional temporary certificate that we have, the requirements are that an educator has to have a bachelor's degree with a degree in that major subject coverage area. And so for most of those, some of them require a master's degree. The second option then is that you have a bachelor's degree and a passing score on the subject area exam. So this is probably the most utilized traditional temporary educator certificate route that we have. The next temporary certificate route, or the second type that we have, is our temporary military veterans certificate. And so thanks to Governor DeSantis and the 2022 Florida legislature, House Bill 896 authorized the temporary military veterans certificate. And so individuals who meet the qualifications that you see on the screen in front of you are then eligible for, again, a five-year non-renewable temporary certificate. During that five-year period, the educators who are in the classroom who are on this temporary certificate, then can take that 5 years to complete the remaining requirements they need in order to fully qualify for a professional certificate. So as you see, the veterans seeking the temporary certificate have to document a minimum of 48 months of military service with an honorable or medical discharge. There's some college credit requirements with a minimum 2.5 GPA. The individual also has to earn a passing score on their Florida subject area examination. And what that ensures is that the educators who are in the classroom have the content knowledge they need to instruct the students that are actually in the classroom in front of them. They then obtain employment in the Florida school district or charter school, and they also, like anyone else for certification, they have to have a cleared background screening as well. So again, this is the second type of temporary certificate that we have in Florida. The third type of temporary certificate that we have in Florida is our temporary teacher internship certificate. And this was another pathway that was created by the 2023 Florida legislature, which established this temporary teacher internship certificate. Again, when you look at the bullets on the screen, that lists the requirements that an individual must meet in order to qualify for the temporary teacher internship certificate. So essentially, this is a pathway for teacher interns. I will say I'm a little bit older, and so it's teacher interns or those of my age. When we were doing, we called it student teaching, but it's for those individuals who are teacher interns or who are student teachers and enrolled in a state-approved teacher preparation program. When they're actively doing their student teaching or completing their internship, When they meet the requirements that you see listed on the screen, they are then eligible for a 5-year temporary teacher internship certificate. All of these pathways for for temporary certificates, it really continues to help focus on teacher recruitment for our Florida classrooms. And this pathway in particular really allows our teacher interns or our student teachers the opportunity to more quickly obtain a temporary certificate, which provides immediate access to the classroom and supports our schools and districts. And finally, the fourth type of temporary certificate that we have is our temporary teacher apprenticeship certificate. This was, again, another pathway that was created in the 2023 legislative process. And thanks to Governor DeSantis signing this into law, we now have our temporary teacher apprenticeship certificate. So in order for candidates to be eligible for this type of temporary certification, they again have to meet those requirements that are listed on the slide. And this pathway, what it does is it allows an individual who is employed as a paraprofessional, it allows that individual to obtain this type of certificate so that this individual can actually work with a mentor teacher in the classroom for 2 years, and this individual can participate in related instruction that is provided by a state-approved teacher preparation program. I also think it's really important to note that through this pathway, the individual who obtains this certification and who is working as a teacher apprentice, this is at no cost to the individual as they finish all of the requirements to obtain a professional certificate. So now let me take a moment and talk a little bit about the various examinations that we have that are required as part of the certification process. So there's the general knowledge exam, we often call that the GK exam, there's a professional education exam, and the subject area exam. The general knowledge exam really measures the general or kind of core knowledge that's required for any teacher that's going to be serving as a teacher in Florida classrooms. There are 4 subtests that make up a part of the general knowledge or GK exam, and those are English language, writing, reading, and mathematics skills. So those are the 4 subtests that make up the general knowledge exam. We also then have the professional education exam, and this exam measures the pedagogy, or really the instructional practice, and how it measures how teachers understand the instructional practices that are required when they're teaching, and they have to pass this exam also in order to obtain a professional certificate. Then finally, again, we have the subject area exam. The subject area exam really measures the content knowledge of the individual to make sure that they have the right content knowledge to teach the students before them. So when you think about an example might be for an individual who wants to be certified in biology, they would take the biology subject area exam, and that measures the content knowledge of that individual to ensure that they're able to effectively teach biology. On this slide, what we have done here is to show you really all of the various components that an educator has to meet when they are applying for certification as well. And so when you look, for example, at GHNI, those are those three areas I just talked a little bit about, and then you can see some of the other requirements that individuals have to meet when they are applying for Florida educator certification. Now, I do want to just share with you that these next 3 slides are very text heavy. All right, so these next 3 are text heavy. But what I want to share with you is that you're going to hear, I think, on these next 3 slides, really a theme that I'm going to be able to share. And really, the theme that I'm going to be able to share is that even though an individual has to meet those 3 mastery areas that I just talked about, mastery of general knowledge, mastery of professional preparation, then also subject area mastery, really the theme of these slides is that these are all of the different pathways and options that an individual has in order to satisfy the mastery of each one of those areas. So be rest assured, Chair, I'm not going to read each one of those to you, but again, what I think you will just see is that there are a plethora of options and choices for educators to satisfy each one of these areas that have to be completed as part of the certification process. So similar theme, text-heavy slide on this one. Again, in order to meet the mastery of subject area knowledge, These are all of the different pathways that an individual can use to meet the mastery of subject area knowledge. And this is the third one. So for the mastery of professional preparation, education, and competence, again, all of the various pathways that an individual can use in order to satisfy and to meet those requirements. So even though, again, those slides are really text heavy, I really was purposeful in including them just to make sure that the committee understood all of the various ways that are available for educators as they are satisfying the requirements for licensure and certification. So we are also proud in Florida to offer reciprocity to educators as a pathway to enter the classroom. So we offer reciprocity for those educators who hold a currently valid out-of-state certificate or a national board certificate. And the certificate has to be in a comparable subject area that we certify educators here in Florida. And so again, on the screen, when you think about reciprocity as one pathway, we offer reciprocity for individuals who have an out-of-state certificate, individuals who may have participated in an out-of-state approved teacher preparation program, or those other two pathways that you see. If educators complete one of those two pathways prior to coming to Florida, we actually offer those individuals reciprocity for their certificates as well. And finally, when we think about certification, I wanted to mention our adjunct teaching certificates and our certificates for our non-degree CTE, career and technical education certificates that we have. So districts or charter school governing boards may issue district-level adjunct certificates, and also they can issue non-degree CTE certificates to various educators. The validity period for the adjunct teaching certificate was also recently expanded following the 2023 legislative session that also moved from 3 years to 5 years as well. And for the non-degree and career technical certificate, there was also flexibility provided after last session for the number of full-time occupational years of experience that's needed. And again, that was in an effort to continue to make sure that we help our schools and districts find qualified educators to teach our children in Florida. So at the beginning of the presentation, I shared with you that I wanted to make the connection between educator certification and teacher preparation or educator preparation. So I want to talk a little bit more about how high-quality teacher preparation programs in Florida, how those actually link and support those educators who are applying for educator certification. The purpose of our teacher preparation programs in Florida is really to make sure that we have teachers and other professional educators who are prepared for the classroom, and by offering these individuals various pathways towards offering and obtaining their professional certification. So our teacher preparation programs at the department have to undergo an initial and continued approval process. We grade each of those teacher preparation programs each year based on the quality of the candidates that they are producing from those teacher preparation programs. The vision, when you think about educator preparation programs, the vision for the teacher preparation programs is for that these programs to graduate candidates who are effectively prepared future educators that can then allow us in Florida to continue to have a high-quality teaching workforce, which will ultimately improve student outcomes for our students across the state of Florida. So on this slide, again, I think really I want to draw your eyes to the dark blue line, because when you think about teacher preparation in Florida, there are essentially three types of major teacher preparation programs that we have in Florida. The first type is the initial teacher preparation program. That's, again, more of the traditional program, if you will. You can think of that program, for example, for individuals who graduate from high school. They want to become a teacher. They can enroll in a state-approved teacher preparation program at a Florida college or university, and then they complete that program. And once they complete that program, again, they qualify immediately for professional certification. The other two types of teacher preparation programs that you see on the screen are what we call our Educator Preparation Institutes and our professional learning certification programs. That name was recently changed in statute in House Bill 1537. These two programs that you see there, they essentially are for those educators. You can think of them, they're the programs for educators who are career changers. So for individuals who might have a bachelor's degree, maybe they didn't plan to go into teaching originally, they've obtained a bachelor's degree, the Educator Preparation Institutes, and then also the Professional Learning Certification Programs, those offer those individuals a chance to enroll in their programs. And then once they complete those programs, then those individuals with a temporary certificate then are qualified for a professional certificate. So I really wanted to make that point that really when you think about educator certification in Florida, we really are dependent on the high quality teacher preparation programs that we have in order to make sure that we are producing teachers that have the right knowledge and skills and abilities to effectively teach our students in Florida. And so finally, for the last part of the presentation, what I want to talk a little bit about is some of the educator certification data. And to share with you a little bit about the various pathways and the numbers of individuals who are utilizing the various pathways and how they're obtaining their first professional certificate. So I want to orient you to this slide and share with you what the data are and what they represent. So in the gray little pie slice that you have there, this represents, and again, I'm going to show this data for for 3 years, a three-year trend, but the gray slice here indicates the percentage of individuals, and again, these are individuals who obtained their first professional certificate. These are individuals who graduated from the traditional teacher preparation program at a college or a university. So that's what the gray is there. When you look at reciprocity, right, I just talked about that Florida offers reciprocity from other states for educators, and you see the amount of individuals that obtained their professional certificate through reciprocity, so you can see what that looks like. Then the alternative route. So you're thinking, well, who are those people that are included in the alternative route? So if you'll permit me, what I'll do is go back and say those individuals who are in the alternative route are those who are in the right-hand column. So it's those individuals who completed either an Educator Preparation Institute or those individuals who completed a Professional Learning Certification Program. So when you look at those two columns on the right, that's who's included in the alternative route in that blue slice there. The individuals that are listed in the other category are those individuals who utilized another unique pathway, because at the opening of the presentation, I shared with you that educators have various pathways that they can use to obtain their professional certificate. They can customize those pathways based on their own unique circumstances, and so other are individuals who decided to earn a professional certificate and really customize their own pathway in earning that professional certificate. So again, this was for the 2021 school year. When you look at 21-22, again, so you can compare. In the gray are those candidates who graduated from an initial teacher preparation program. We've talked about what reciprocity means. The alternative route are those individuals who went through either an Educator Preparation Institute or Professional Learning Certification Program. Others are those that customize their own route. And finally, this gives you an idea for the 2022 and 2023 school year as well. And so with that, Chair, this concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer questions that you or other members may have.
Open the floor to questions. Representative Gonzalez-Pittman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And welcome back, our 21st member. I have a question. Are there data to show the success or effectiveness of the teachers by pathway?
You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon, Representative. Nice to be back in front of the committee again. In order to answer that question, so what happens is that we produce VAM data, or our value-added model data, for individuals that are certified in certain tested areas. So what we would have to do, it would be a narrow subset because not every educator teaches one of those tested subject areas, but every educator obviously gets a certificate. So we would have to do a data match between those individuals and the pathway they went. And then if they were teaching one of the tested subject areas, we could then look at their VAM score and determine where they landed in the VAM score, whether they're effective, highly effective, needs improvement, or unsatisfactory. So we could match that data set. It won't be all the teachers. It'll be a small subset of teachers, but we could run those data for you.
Go ahead.
Why is it a small subset?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Because the individual has to be teaching in a tested area. So, for example, grades 3 through 8, the individual will have to be teaching. So if you look at someone, for example, for biology or someone that's teaching sixth grade, they won't have a VAM score because that may not be a tested area. So it depends on what the educator is teaching. If the educator is teaching in a tested area, we do have those VAM scores and we can run that. So it's about a third of the teachers for the state of Florida that are teaching in one of the tested areas. So for example, if an educator obtains their certificate and is teaching chemistry, that's not one of our state tested areas, so we wouldn't necessarily have a state VAM score for that individual. If an individual is teaching art, right, if they have an art certificate and they're teaching art, that individual would not have a VAM score, and so that's why we wouldn't be able to run a VAM score for that individual. It's those individuals who are teaching in our tested areas for like K, like 3 through 8, where you take the state FAST assessment.
One more. Yes, ma'am.
I guess that the VAM score is coming from the student's achievement. As I was just thinking about looking at the teachers, are they effective, highly effective, or not, based on their pathway?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So then maybe the question, I just want to make sure I understand the question of, if we look at educators, we do track, right, the evaluations from districts for educators that are either effective or highly effective. Is that the question? Got it. So, yes, we can look at the data to see if educators are highly effective or effective, those individuals, and we can look at that and compare that to the individual's pathway is what we can do. And I will say we have our data, which is about 98% of our teachers in Florida are highly effective or effective. So, you know, you could make the assumption that most of the teachers are going to be highly effective or effective, which is about 98%, and all of them would have come through one of those pathways.
Representative Franklin, you had a question.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thanks for all you do for Florida and your role in the education space. Really appreciate all your support. The first question I have is around the dollars we've invested in pipeline to try to help, and it might be too soon to see if there's been any kind of benefit to that. And so the question is kind of, have we seen, I notice you show the percentages, have we seen any impact on the pipeline investment in reference to teachers kind of coming through the process?
You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for that question, Representative. We have seen, when we look at what our national averages here are in Florida, and you look at what our commissioner stated at our past couple of board meetings, at our past couple of board meetings, and it was one in particular in August, when the commissioner, what he has us do each year is track the number of vacancies that we have across Florida. And just for example, at the start of this school year compared to last school year, our vacancy rate dropped nearly 10%. For this school year compared to last school year. Our national average, our average that we have per classroom vacancies is much lower than the national average also. And so with that drop in vacancies that we see, we do hear districts that are thankful to the various pathways that we have that educators can utilize in order to obtain their professional certification.
You may, yes, sir.
And my next question is around all the different pathways that we have. Have we also looked at kind of what other states offer with different pathways? Are any pathways that do exist in other states or any that you might have even kind of kicked around as well that we could add to what we currently have? Or do you think the pathways that we currently do have or exist is sufficient enough and can't really grow beyond that?
Recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the question, Representative. What I would say about our pathways that we have in Florida, we really have oftentimes more pathways in other states. That's why one of the things that we are really proud of in Florida is that we have reciprocity, where there are other states that may not have reciprocity from certificates for individuals utilizing certificates from other states. So first and foremost, we're proud really of the reciprocity that we have, because what we do is we honor those certificates if they're comparable, which allows teachers to immediately access the classroom in Florida. The other thing that I would say that what we're really proud of is when you go back and look at that pie chart, part of the reason we had other on that is that we're proud that we allow educators really to mix and match their pathways and how they complete the requirements for the professional licensure. In Florida, we really believe in choice and options, and so we don't want to lock an individual into one pathway for them to be able to be stuck in that pathway. Individuals can start to earn their professional licensure and certification one pathway. If their life circumstances change, they can then easily switch to another pathway, and they're not penalized for that in Florida. So really allowing educators to customize their pathway to earn licensure here in Florida really allows Florida to shine when you think about educator certification.
Yes, sir.
Okay, this would be my last question. So sorry, Mr. Chair. The last question is around, I noticed that when I looked from year to year, we saw an increase in reciprocity from a percentage perspective, and I'm not really sure what the numbers are. I am kind of curious around if the numbers were kind of consistent and we just saw that shift from other to reciprocity, and is that probably due to the teacher's pay, starting pay, that was more recent, not a few years ago, obviously. Kind of curious around that increase and that bump and why you feel that it was. And also with these percentages, are the numbers also consistent? Are we seeing like an increased amount of teachers as well coming through the pathways?
Great question, because that was going to be my next question.
Thank you, Chair. We can get you the exact numbers that we used for the pie charts and the graphs. The numbers have been pretty steady and consistent really over the past several years. And so we certainly can share that with you. When we look at the number of educators who are coming to Florida or who are obtaining licensure in Florida due to reciprocity, what we're hearing from those educators as they transition to Florida, it is really a myriad of things. You're absolutely right that certainly thanks to the governor with the teacher salary increase allocation, that has certainly been attractive for individuals as they are moving to the state of Florida. The other thing, some other topics that we hear from educators as they're moving to the state of Florida is really the number one rankings. You need only watch our State Board of Education meetings where we hear the commissioner. It feels like every time we're at a state board meeting, he's able to tout really the progress that we've made in Florida educationally. When you look at our NAEP scores that are above other states, when you look at the performance of our students, when you look at the teaching conditions here in Florida. So it's really thanks to all of those things working in concert together that we're able to attract individuals here to Florida to fill our classrooms.
Representative Yeager, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chancellor, for your presentation today, for sure. It's been a very small sample size, so I don't want to use this as a thing, but I've got a couple of feedback from some folks that have been going through this process that said it took a long time to get these processes, applications. Is there an expectation for time? Is there a backlog? Just kind of curious on that process, or are they just being impatient, right, to be honest?
You're right.
A little bit of both.
Thank you, Chair. I'm proud to say, are not in a backlog. The last time that there was a backlog in certification was in 2019. Since that time, since we cleaned out the backlog, there has not been a backlog in certification. So there are essentially two statutory timelines that are outlined regarding teacher certification. The first is a 90-day window, and so once applications are fully complete, and I do use that word for fully complete, what we find, unfortunately, sometimes from individuals is when they log on and they complete the application, unfortunately, what they don't realize, and we're happy to help them, is that they have missed certain steps. So, for example, they do have to pay for their certificate to be processed. They have to make sure their transcripts are there. So sometimes their colleges or universities or institutions haven't mailed their transcripts yet. So once the application is then complete, our statutory timeline kicks in, and we have 90 days in order to process those certificates. We have really it started as a way for us to get out of the backlog. We actually track those numbers daily. So every night at 5:30, both I and our Deputy Chancellor for Educator Quality, Dr. Chansey, who's here with me, we receive nightly reports of the number of certificates that were processed daily. And if we're under the 90-day timeline, and I can assure you that we are definitely under that 90-day timeline, The other statutory timeline that is in law is around an issue request. And so let me just take a minute and explain what that is. Is let's say that I want to teach at a school and I were going to get a temporary certificate. I would take my status of eligibility. I would go to my charter school or to my traditional school district school. I would get employed. Once that happens, the district or charter school pushes a button which tells the department that they are ready for us to issue that certificate. So once the district or charter school pushes the button requesting the department to issue the certificate, we have 14 days to do that by law also. And so those are the two statutory timelines that guide that. But when we look at our nightly reports, we're definitely meeting our statutory timeline. One thing that we say is that we have also, in order to help superintendents, what we've done is created a priority lane for superintendents and for charter schools as they are hiring individuals. Instead of them just sitting in that traditional queue or pipeline, we have allowed charter schools and district superintendents to request us to expedite those certificates as well. And so we work through that process also. We are happy to work with individuals who have questions about certification. So if you get them and they've got questions or think we're in a backlog, I would invite you to send those to us and we will process them and contact those individuals immediately.
Rep. Grant? Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
My apologies.
Good afternoon, Doctor. So looking through the different alternate paths to certification, is there course prep and is there course prep for the alternate paths for the candidates to be prepared for the general knowledge or the subject area? Or are they expected to kind of study on their own? Like, what does that look like when they're preparing to take those exams through the alternative path to getting their certificate?
Recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, for that question. So if I understand correctly, I think your question is, if an individual is enrolled in one of the alternative certification routes, whether it's the professional learning certification program or the Educator Preparation Institute, it is the responsibility of the entity that is helping that candidate move through licensure. It is their responsibility to help prepare them for whatever requirements that they have to meet. So every individual, when they receive their statement of status of eligibility, it outlines the unique requirements that the individual needs. So if I take you and me, for example, I might have to take two of the tests. You might have already passed those. So the program, whether it's the district program or the Educator Preparation Institute, is required to look at our statement of status of eligibility and then customize a pathway for us to move through the requirements that's listed in our statement of eligibility. I will also say that I know those were text-heavy slides, but for individuals that are enrolled in either one of the alternative routes, the Professional Learning Certification Program or the Educator Preparation Institute, there's also ways now, thanks to flexibility from the Florida legislature, that allows individuals to waive or satisfy that requirement actually without taking the exam. So individuals who are in those pathways have additional flexibilities in meeting those requirements.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Dr. Burns, for that. And I remember, maybe I'm thinking of the LSAT, but with those exams, do they expire since we went from a 3-year temporary certificate to a 5-year? I know there was always a rush for the clock when a person took it maybe their first year into their temporary certificate to make sure that they passed all the parts that they needed to get their professional license at the end of the 3-year. So has that clock extended with the time frame that you can have a temporary certificate?
Recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So the exams, in that situation, I think the question is that if an individual qualifies for a temporary certificate and they start to take their exams, those exams during that window are valid for 10 years,
okay,
is what the exams are. Once an individual has a certificate, then those, once they have a professional certificate, then those are just kept on file and the educator doesn't have to take them every 5 years when they renew.
Chancellor, thank you so much for being here this afternoon. We appreciate the presentation and answering all the questions. You did a fantastic job and look forward to the next one.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
That being said, Representative Gant
Moves to rise without objection. Meeting is adjourned.